The second reading comes from Psalm 72, verses 1 to 20. Endow the king with your justice, O Lord, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvellous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse.
All right, well, so good to preach here today. To bring you a message from the Psalms. We've been going through Psalms this January, and today we're in Psalm 72. Before I do, I would love to tell you about a movie I watched as a kid. You may know this movie. It was called King Ralph. It starred John Goodman. This movie was about the search for a king. What had happened was in this movie, there was a royal photo shoot, and unfortunately the photographer accidentally electrocuted the whole royal family. And so they had to find a replacement king. And so they searched far and wide, and eventually they found a man by the name of Ralph Jones. Now, Ralph was anything but royal material. Firstly, he was an American. He was a Las Vegas entertainer who had a diet of mostly fast food and would frequent bars on a nightly occasion. This whole movie, they bring him out to England, and the whole plot of the movie is his transition from being an American slob to being the Royal Highness. Now, in these types of movies, the whole tension of the movie is this resistance to being who the people should say he is to be. There's these royal officials that say, no, this is how you must eat, this is how you must talk. But he can't help being who he's been his whole life. Now, there's lots of movies that are like this. You might have heard of a similar one, like The Princess Diaries or something like that. And what I think attracts us to movies like this is that we see ourselves alike these people who are trying to ascend the throne. We are thrilled when they try to break down these standards that aren't for the common people. And I think also deep down we long for a leader who understands us, a leader who is like us, a leader who could represent us rather than themselves. Psalm 72 is a prayer for the king. A prayer for blessing upon the king so that he may live up to a certain standard. Now, while in King Ralph, the standard set by the British monarchy was to set the king apart from the people, apart from the common people, this prayer sets a standard that would bring the king close to his people. If you have your Bibles, it would be great to have it out because we're going to work our way through Psalm 72. I'm going to be pointing out some things along the way. There's lots in here, so we're not going to touch all of it. Now, Psalm 72 begins by asking God to give the king his justice and righteousness. And the first thing to note is this justice and righteousness is not just a relative quality of justice and righteousness. Rather, it is a request for God's justice and God's righteousness. So that as this king rules, it would be as if God was ruling himself. Now, if God's perfect justice and righteousness was ruling, what we see in the following verses is that this should bring prosperity for the people. Now, mountains and hills are not known for bearing fruit. That's not where you'd find the massive crops. But in this prayer, we see that the abundant prosperity that comes from God's rule is so abundant that even the hills are showing signs of God's righteousness. Now, before we think that this prosperity means that God's going to line our pockets with cash, we need to see the link between what prosperity means and God's justice. The prosperity mentioned has no boundaries, but the primary sign of the prosperity is a just and righteous government. When the people will prosper when the king rules with justice. When the king does what we see in verse 4, when he defends the afflicted among the people, he saves the children of the needy and crushes the oppressor. And the link between justice and prosperity is further strengthened when the king is likened to rain upon a mown field. The people of the kingdom are like the grass that needs the rain to grow. For a righteous king enables the people to grow and flourish. But this prayer, this psalm, is not just that the people may grow and flourish, but that the king's reign would grow and flourish as well. Verse 8 says, "May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him and all nations serve him." Now that verse 8, "may he rule from sea to sea," may sound like grounds for a king to go and conquer the lands. But I think that this prayer is far from that. It might be hard for people to hear these words because they think that this is grounds that God is saying that this king should conquer everyone. But this king is to be one that liberates people, sets them free from oppression. This prayer seems to show the nations coming and submitting to the king of Israel, as opposed to a king who would forcefully conquer. It's as if the king's reputation has so far spread that all the surrounding nations are drawn to this king. The enemies, they come down and surrender and bow and serve the king in the hope that this king may show them mercy. For other neighboring nations, the reputation of this benevolent king draws them to receive the blessing that has fallen upon the nation of Israel, hoping that this blessing may even extend to them. Now, this is all great if I was teaching a history lesson on what this psalm is about. But what does it mean for you and I? What does it mean for us today as we hear this psalm? How do we hear this in the light of the gospel? Well, initially, I thought of this psalm would be helpful for us as we think about how we pray for our government. And as David mentioned before about our elected officials, we should pray for our officials. And I thought the first lines of this psalm might be a good thing to pray for them, that they would rule with justice and righteousness. We want them to rule with God's justice and righteousness. We want them to defend the needy in our world. We don't want them to serve their own interests. We want them to serve the people that they are leading. And fortunately, in Australia, we do have good examples of leadership. But what Psalm 72 also does is it models to us what a king should be or what a leader should be. In Psalm 72, it presents such a lofty description of who this king should be. So much so that it might be hard to fathom that even such a king could even exist. King Solomon, whom this prayer was about, and possibly also successive kings, he was attributed as being a great king who ruled with wisdom. But even he couldn't live up to this high standard perfectly. For the only king who's been able to live to this lofty standard is Jesus. He is the king who is endowed with God's justice. He is the one who rules with God's righteousness. Jesus is like the rain falling on a mown field. He brings life because he is the life. And he chooses to bless people with his life. And his rule is not limited to the nation of Israel. His rule extends to the whole world because he is the creator of the whole world. Jesus fulfills every part of this prayer in Psalm 72. So if we're thinking of this prayer being maybe a prayer of King David for his son and future sons, it finds its fulfillment in Jesus. Perhaps the most important part that Jesus fulfills in this psalm is the primary concern of this psalm, that this king should have a heart for his people. His concern is for the needy, the afflicted, and the oppressed. And if we have to think of ourselves, we should align ourselves with the people here. We are the needy, we are the afflicted, we are the oppressed. We are in need of a just and righteous king. Now, you may not feel needy, afflicted, or oppressed. We do have a fairly comfortable life for most of us. But we have to remind ourselves that we have an enemy, the devil. And he seeks our destruction by tempting us. And when we've fallen into temptation, he accuses us. And he causes us all sorts of pain. John 10:10 says that Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly, whereas the devil has come to seek, steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus doesn't just offer us an alternative way to live. He came to actively work in the lives of his people. Jesus came to earth to live the life we couldn't. As he came to earth, he declared that his kingdom has come near, and he demonstrated it through miracles and signs. And he also demonstrated it through the life that he lived for us. He lived the life that we couldn't, and he died the death that we deserved. He served us as king, not by lording his power over us, but serving us and our greatest need. King Jesus demonstrated his authority over sin, death, and evil through his resurrection. The people of the kingdom have been liberated from the power of Satan. We may feel Satan's presence, we may hear his accusations, but we know as God's people the truth. And Jesus speaks that truth to us. He tells us that he has earned our freedom. Our freedom has been earned, and it's not through our work. It's a pure gift. And we also know what the future holds for Satan, our enemy. For Jesus will be the one that crushes the oppressor. He will one day crush Satan. The great news that we have today is that we have a king who knows his people. He is a king of the people. We don't need someone like King Ralph. We need a king like Jesus who can adequately rule and reign, who cares about us, who hasn't waited for us to live up to a certain standard, but he has come to us. He's actively sought our freedom and our prosperity. We should thank God that he is a good and just king. So I want to finish by praying the final words of this psalm. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen.